Kipper, take two.
Welcome back in to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, our national edition. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Sammy, the rest of the country want to know if you're okay.
Well,
on the Otani watch.
Prove he's still okay.
Are you okay?
The good news is that we didn't do that nationally, at least.
Yeah, the bad hour. Yeah.
The bad hour? Yeah. The nightmare hour? The nightmare hour was not... And I will say, I think there is not, like... I think Vancouver kind of has a bit of a non-cheer for the Jays kind of thing.
No. I grew up in BC. Big Jays? Big Jays vibes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I think it's really... They don't tie that in with the Leafs?
No, I mean, there's never really been another baseball team outside of the Expos, so it's actually the closest team.
Okay. Just making sure. Yeah. Didn't know if that was a thing.
Oh, you're good.
So we've been so far off of Stanley Cup. We cheer for anybody that's still around.
Any sport, any Canadian
team.
In
May and June.
Not true.
Not Sam.
Not you.
No.
Okay.
Like I've said many times.
I'm talking about the rest of the country. It's like they're like really nice people.
We're referring to Otani.
I'm talking about the nice people.
I'm sure that all the people in Vancouver would just be rooting so hard for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Stanley Cup final.
They're Canada's team.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Like I've said a million times, the only way I want it back in Canada is down Yonge Street.
We're gonna grab PJ Stock in a few moments. But before that, do you buy any into that conspiracy theory that, like, there's no way Major League Baseball would ever allow Otani to come to Canada?
No, but I do buy the theory that you need leverage in a negotiation to get an extra 100 mil, and if Canada's willing to provide it.
I do believe that it would be horrible for ESPN.
Why? They're playing in the American League East. They're playing against the Yankees and the Red Sox all the time, the Eastern time zone.
You got the Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball, or you got the Jays on Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah, winning the division for the 10th straight time.
It's a different vibe, I'm telling you. TNT didn't even want to do the outdoor game between Calgary and Edmonton. Didn't even want to do it.
I think baseball's a different animal.
It's a thing.
Okay.
It's a thing.
And I had to read every article from every American guy being like, oh, wow, thank God he didn't go up to that igloo place. It drove me nuts. That part of it drove me nuts.
Yeah.
With people being like, this is better for the game. It's like I said in our other hour, the Toronto Blue Jays viewership dominates.
Higher per game than any other major league team.
Yeah. Dominates. More eyeballs every single night.
And does Major League Baseball care which side of the border they're on?
Sponsors do.
And I guess they would prefer Otani to play against the New York Yankees once a year as opposed to 18 times a year. All right. Against the Red Sox in Boston 18 times a year. Like, those are the two marquee markets. Anyways, I'm not over it.
I am extremely not over it. Sam has said he's going to the first Otani game in Toronto, buying the best seat he can in full booze.
Yes.
He's got a lot of show hate over here.
Oh, a lot of show hate.
Yeah.
There's also a tremendous spike of tickets.
Yeah.
In a very small window.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh, people were going to buy tickets, Blue Jay tickets.
Ahead of time. Try to get out ahead of it.
Yes. And when the odds were really close for him coming, I think the tickets that you could normally get for $60 or $75 were... $150,
well, it's going to be fascinating to see how the Jays pivot, because they just spent $300 million on the lower bowl renos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, like, the first time in my life I had talks with friends of mine, like, are we going to get a package? Like, you know, like, are we going to go, like, in on a flex pack or whatever?
Can I present to you Matt Chapman?
Yeah, but they need to present someone, right? So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, it's a good thing you quit drinking, because you don't have to debate whether you're going to pay for a 60-buck beer or not.
Yeah, exactly. I can get a $32 iced tea instead.
We got PJ Stock, former NHL player, tough guy. He's going to tell us that the Habs don't suck.
Think so?
I don't know.
Well, I put it in there because they don't suck. They're ahead of Kyle Dubas' Penguins.
That's a good thing for you.
There's some issues going on in Pittsburgh we'll get to a little later on in the show, too, because Kyle met with the media.
Mm-hmm. I was listening through it. Well, you guys were talking to Hickey there. I was trying to cut some of it. It's just so Kyle Dubas-y. It's not really newsworthy.
No.
Oh, I think him coming out
and
talking about his head coach. is very newsworthy.
Okay.
In what way?
The fact that he's doing it.
In what way?
Yeah.
Drawing attention to it, for one.
Is someone asked him about it, though? Was it?
It was the question.
Regardless, you have to know that it's coming.
And you just go, I'm not talking about Mike Sullivan. No, he's Mike Sullivan.
He did.
Yeah, yeah. But you think he should have just, like, moved on from the question?
I think he's put a timeline on his job.
Because wasn't he to start the season, he said something about, like, never get rid of Sullivan. He's Mike Sullivan. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, as promised, PJ Stock for his second appearance.
Yeah, we're talking about Dubas. So what,
on
PJ?
On the Real Kipper and Bourne show.
You guys bring me on. I get all excited. I comb my hair. I talk about, you know, the Ryan Reeves stuff. 2 seconds later, he's not playing again. He pulled him out of the lineup. And then no more calls. But you guys are like, and now that the Leafs have passed the Canadians, you're like, ha, 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 we can call them back up and get them back on the line. So,
all right,
thanks for having me on, guys.
Let's start with the Montreal Canadiens. Not bad season so far, with everybody considering a bottom feeder team, game off of 500. What's the vibe in Montreal?
The vibe is great. I mean, the problem is in Canada, we put the expectations so high, especially in Montreal and, you know, Toronto. The difference is Montreal is supposed to be bad. And they're actually, I don't want to say they're trying to be bad, but the organization understands that this is not just a 1 year, get a first overall pick and maybe not the strongest draft year ever. And things are just going to turn around. It's a process. It's building pillars. It's starting from the ground up, and it's going to, you know, they have to get rid of a lot of bod contracts, bring in a lot of new guys, teach them how to win and build a foundation. And I think the problem is everyone just expects them to win right away. And they expected Slafkovský to come in and be the next coming of God because he was drafted first overall. And it's taken him a little bit to get going. But, you know, it wasn't a Connor Bedard. He wasn't a Sidney Crosby, or it wasn't that type of a draft. But where he is in his process, where the Canadians are in their process, and where the expectations are, you know, normally I like to come out swinging. And I've been really calm this year. I understand completely what the process is, where they are, what they're trying to do. And you know what? Considering everything, they lost the probably number two centerman, number one centerman. They lose some big defensemen off the get-go. They're on a couple points behind Toronto, who's at the salary cap. It's supposed to be in the Stanley Cup final. Montreal is supposed to be one of the bottom teams in the league. And they're a couple, like you said, probably 5 points behind the Leafs. I mean, it's all beautiful in La Belle Province right now. I'm more worried about what's going on in Toronto. You guys didn't get, you know, we're missing a baseball player. Leafs are struggling.
Don't rub it in, PJ.
Having a tough time here. Sammy's having a tough time, okay?
It is pretty crazy. They broke it down. I'm not sure. I think the sports, you guys had it on today. I think it was his play per game, per inning, per day, per minute. And they compared it to, I think, McKinnon's, and how much he gets, like $1.44 or something silly per second.
We're really rooting for him to hit 262 with 11 home runs next year. So that would be really
such
helpful.
A mean panel here.
I know. PJ, you mentioned Slafkovský. Does it give you any sort of, I don't want to say hope, like it's so terrible or anything, but seeing what's happening with Byfield in LA, like a big guy started slow and all of a sudden it's like, oh, the lights come on. Even Lafreniere is like, I don't know, he's almost got 10 goals this year. He looks really good, too. Takes some time for some guys.
Tage Thompson?
Yeah, yeah. For big guys.
Yeah. They're big. Because it's different for Slafkovský because, first of all, he never really played a physical game. He played on a bigger ice surface. And like, everyone's like, he's the first overall pick, but he got 10 points last year in Finland. And he played in the Finnish league. So bigger ice with no hitting and a lot of, as you know, the way they defend over there is kind of mirroring, and there's a lot more space. And I think now he's such a big guy, and the space closes on him so quickly, and there's no, like, he runs into corners quickly. He almost looks like, you know, I'm lost a little. He's starting to, we're at what, game 60, I think, for him. You know, he's not even a year in. Everyone, you know, Hughes might be the MVP of the league this year, and he's almost, you know, on pace for what Hughes had his first year, Jack Hughes, that is. So, you know, it's a process. I think what isn't necessarily helping him a ton is the people around him. You know, I think obviously you're picked first because you finished on the worst team in the league and they have some veterans around him, but the organization, Kent Hughes, has been trying to get rid of some of the older contracts that Bergevin had and trying to bring in some newer guys, some younger guys, and build it up. So I think there's a lot put on him because there's not of insulation around him. Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield are the two guys making a lot of money. They can be better. You know, I know they're young as well, and they're part of the young nucleus, but, you know, Slavkovsky's on that line, and there's, you know, I know you're the brains, the guy beside you, Kipper, is not. But, you know, the Vance Stats, puck battles, he's won the most by a mile in the last little while for the Montreal Canadiens. And that's just starting to understand how big he is, where he is on the ice, how to use his weight, which he never really had to. And he's not a year in, so it's not even a year of experience yet. And it's hard when your team's trailing all the time and you try and do stuff and the pressure's on you. And there's a lot of media in both these towns, we know, all across Canada, that the first pick, they're expecting, you know, this, and they're not getting that right now. So it's been a little tough on him, but he's been pretty good. He's the last few games. He's had flashes of, I'm going to say, not brilliance, but trajectory.
How many times do I have to tell you I'm the muscle in this group here? I'm the brawn.
We're an orchestra. Can't all play tuba.
Hey,
I know you're the looks, Kipper.
So, yeah, exactly. Caulfield's got twice as many games as Slavkovsky. And he's on pace for 20 goals, and he's making now big money here. That's easily acceptable now in Montreal.
Well, again, I think that's where, you know, I think a little bit of his situation is that if you break him down, he's a specialist. And he's specialist of shooting.
Three on three
is actually, it's funny because there, you know, I hate when we do this, but we all do. He's like, oh, new Canadiens record for the most overtime goals. And, you know, well, they play 3-on-3 now with no touchy, no whatever. And, you know, we used to play overtime. It was 5-on-5 and it was pretty much rugby. And then it went to 4-on-4. And this is, you know, but yeah, he set some records. He's great with open space. The problem is, for his situation, no one is drawing people away from him, his checking, to let him get open. So, you know, if again, I'm just picking on that line because it's the only thing really to talk a lot about is Slavkovsky, Nick Suzuki, and Cole Caulfield. You know, Nick Suzuki has to beat his coverage for someone else to help out. And then that's what we saw last year. Now Cole Caulfield's open, and that's where he makes, you know, Suzuki so great at those quick passes, those quick looks. But if he doesn't beat his body, everyone's just, you know, space man to man. And Slavkovsky's been a little bit better at beating guys out of the corner, but he's got to get, you know, more eager to drive to the net. Right now he beats the guy. He's like, oh, where's Caulfield? I got to get him the puck. So, you know, everyone could be a little bit better. I think the catalyst to that line is Nick. And Nick knows that he's a real good player. It's frustrating, you know, losing and signing a big contract. And people want you to do more. And if you shut down that line, you have a good chance to shut down the Habs. So a lot of teams are putting all their, you know, a lot of their players against the shutdown guys against that big line. And then you're down by two. Before you know it, you're just playing on hockey trying to catch up.
Yeah. PJ, I wanted to get your thoughts on like a trend from the NHL right now. I think you're a good guy to weigh in on this. You know, Barron got hit from behind by, I think it was Robinson on Winnipeg. We saw Cousins, Greece, Gudbranson, who went back at him the other day. We saw Brodin get hit from behind by Kane. A lot of these D-men going back on pucks, numbers showing. Who do you put it on? What do you make of guys kind of, you know, getting these boarding, these hit from behind plays that seem to be happening with increasing frequency?
The game's going that way. And anyone that's, we've all known that if we want to eliminate the physicality, there's still going to be some people that are physical in the game. Mm-hmm. And I really thought the Cousins one was really bad.
I did too.
If Gabranson isn't so big and so strong, that could be broken neck. That could be that. It's not like where he kind of turned into it, where some people at the last second turn into it. He was full blown going down and going to move it with following the boards.
And his body just like, and I think his skates left the ice at one point.
It could never have been a clean hit. There's no chance for it to be one.
He launched his whole body into
launched.
It.
Launched. And you know what? I think I'm going years back to Steve Downey throwing a hit like that and getting 20, not the same idea, but the intent to injure. There's no intent to separate from the puck on that play. There's intent to which I get, I understand, because we want that from a forechecker, but there's also within the limitations of the game. If Gabranson gets more of a penalty than what Cousins gets, I think we're totally missing the point here. Mm-hmm. Like that is, one is, you know, you're going to get your ass kicked because what you just did and the refs aren't going to give it to you. Well, I'm going to give it to you. And that's the problem with the game. The refs in football, they come in and, you know, basketball, you look the wrong way, you get a T. Hockey, we get away with a little bit more. And I think there's a way over 82 games. Suspending a guy for two games or fining him $5,000 for an incident like that is a joke. That it's really you could really hurt someone because of the body check. The Gabranson thing is a retaliation to the body check, which I understand. It's not legal. He gets a penalty. I'm totally fine with that penalty. But what he was going to get versus what his potentially, sorry, what Cousins was going to get, which he knew was kind of coming, compared to what Gabranson could have happened to him on that play, I think it's something the league really has to identify. And I'm two-game suspension? What's two games over 82? Like, you got to suspend guys for – it should be – and the problem is no one really knows what a suspension is. And I know George Parros and the guys, they're on both sides of the fence. They want to not over-penalize guys. But you got to give – that's a dirty play that can really hurt someone. And I'm if that was five games or eight games or – I'd have, if it was 10 games, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I have a problem with Gabranson getting penalized and getting suspended. If he got 2, 5, 10, and if he got a fine, I'd have no problem with that.
We're talking to PJ Stock, former National Hockey League player. I've been a fan of Nick Cousins. I love the way.
I thought you were going to say me.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say me.
He says that off air.
You too. He plays the game hard. But yes. if you're gonna go that hard, you can't turtle.
Well,
I'm sorry, you just can't. And think you're going to get any respect.
But it did remind me a little bit, and I hate to, you know, call this Bertuzzi? Up, but Bertuzzi on Moore, chasing the guy, you throw him down on top of him, and you throw some punches. And that's, you know, the way the Moore one worked out was so terrible, but it had the same look where you maybe just have to fight the guy and take your lunch.
The difference is it's the guy that hit you. Like, that's the guy that you ran over.
Sure.
Whereas Bertuzzi was coming back.
That's a good
defending
point.
Naslin, and no one really knows how that's going to end. He had already fought in the game.
Right.
Cousins been great. He's been great for them. And I'm not saying him the person. Yep. I'm saying him the act. And there's been, you just mentioned, Borny, you mentioned three of them in the last week.
But I was kind of wondering, Peach, if you wouldn't go the way that, like, at some point also going back on pucks. I thought the Gabranson one was different. I thought he's going back on a puck and making a play. Barron, I didn't think, protected himself super well, nor did I think Brodin protected himself super well. And I guess my thought is just, like, your numbers aren't a force field, and you have to at some point anticipate that the guy may hit you and protect yourself a little bit, which doesn't seem to happen as much either. Gabranson, to me, was separate from that conversation, though.
I'm going to reference John Tortorella, because was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago, he brought up, you know, and this is, I've been saying this, my kids went into hockey and contact hockey, and it's not so much, or my kids driving, for perfect example, as much as it's teaching them how to drive, it's teaching them how to be aware of everybody else on the road as well. And that's the thing on the ice right now. We put the onus on the hitter. Like, I'm coming in and I'm going to turn my back and, like, you can't hit me. That's kind of what you're.
Yeah, you're not putting, supposed to hit me.
You're not supposed to. Yeah, like, you shouldn't hit me. Why are you putting yourself in that position in the first place?
Because when I was a little kid, I had a little stop sign on it. Yes. And I'm just showing you the stop sign. Stop.
Can't hit me.
And that's where it started. And I played with Big Joe Thornton, and Big Joe Thornton could get away with it because he was 6'4", 240 pounds. And Jagr did that, would turn his big butt to us. But the game's too fast. You can't hold up anymore. And I was scared that if I hit Jagr too hard, that someone was going to rip my head off. First of all, The joke there is that I was on the ice with Jagr, but it was actually one time down low. I have him in the corner. He does that exact same thing. So I slash him as hard as I can over the back of his two legs. And then I cross checked him on his big arse and my stick broke in half. And he just turned around at me and looked at me. He had the biggest, back padding, and the ultralight stick just breaks in half. And I'm like, now what do I do? But he was, too many guys do that. And with the speed of the game now, no more defense can't interfere with their partner. Goalies limited to come out to where they can play the puck. You want the speed. The league wants the speed. You like the speed. You can pretty much get the 200 feet like that now. And you have two guys flying down and the onus is on the defenseman to A, if you can't get it, let him get it, then smoke him. But you can't put yourself in a position to get hit. Sorry, you can put yourself in a position to get hit, but put yourself in a position where you are okay with getting it. Like, that's the one thing. The safe, if your 2 feet are facing the boards, that's not good. Like, I don't want to bring up an older name, but Brad Bertuzzi. Chris Chelios played 100 years in the National Hockey League, and everyone wanted to kill him. He never went into a corner without his head looking 15 different ways, stick up, get down. And if he has to eat the hit puck, he just kept it in his feet, jumps up and gets smoked. Yeah. And then play carries on. It's too fast today. I think a lot of the young guys don't protect themselves properly and put the onus on the person that's hitting them. And it's unfortunate because we're going to see some injuries if this continues, because the last week has been pretty tough. And Cousins playing great, no on him, but his play is what the league has to eliminate from our game.
Another scary incident we saw.
Larkin?
Yeah, Larkin knocked unconscious in a battle in front of the net. Matthew Joseph, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And Perron retaliating. We'll have an in-person hearing. Well, a Zoom call. Nobody really goes in person anymore.
He's got He's 5+. 5+ for sure. But
it is pretty bad.
Okay, hold on. The Larkin thing I've watched 100 times from every angle, and I don't know how he got knocked out.
Same.
Like,
did it not look like any other type of battle in front of the net that would, if Larkin gets up, we would not have been thinking twice about what just happened in front of the net. Correct?
Not a 2-minute? I don't think there's
any. No, I know he didn't.
Yes.
But if he did, it's uncommon of any other battle in front of the net that we've seen.
Agreed.
Okay.
I'm talking about the hit on Cousins, which is the intent is there. You can understand how he gets caught up in the action, and it's kind of a hockey play that goes completely wrong and should be suspendable. The Joseph play, the Gabranson thing is retaliatory. Could McSorley Brashear him if you wanted to? Jumps him, mano y mano, like you guys says, we're putting the onus on Cousins for not sticking back up. I understand that part of it. The Perron cross-check to the face is...
Can't go there.
You're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, can't
as much as I'm mad at the Cousins stuff,
I could use a punch there, right? A good punch to the head.
Sucker him. The guy knows it's coming. He just does not know he's about to get 2-stick cross-checked into the face.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
That was on Zub. It was just like, hey, whoever's in my way is...
Yeah.
You know?
So, again, now, the precedent comes out of this is, what if there's no call on it? Let's say it's 2 games. What's going to prevent someone doing something to somebody else and getting a 2-game one just before the playoffs? Hypothetically, what stops me from doing that to McKinnon?
You're saying two is not nearly enough.
No. That is a two-handed cross check to the face.
Yeah.
The game is try to eliminate every hit to the head anyways, which we totally all understand. We're eliminating fighting. We get all that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a deliberate retaliation with intent to hurt, which is not to the body, it's to the head, which is because of all the sciences. We're trying to eliminate all the blunt shots to the head. This is a two-handed stick to the face.
I'm reminded of the Matthews on Darlene one, which kind of skipped off a shoulder pad and was not half as egregious as the Perron one here.
They were right beside each other. This is distance traveled, right? So instigator in a fight is a lot of times not necessarily dropping our gloves at the same time or before each other, is the distance traveled to the person. Like if I skate all the way to Toronto right now where Kipper is, I wouldn't go near Kipper. I would go near either of you. So someone weaker in your studio, I'd go to that person.
I'd be full cousins turtle shell over here if you show up.
So that's part of the instigator. So, I mean, that's going to be added to this as well. I really do think the distance traveled, look down, see your buddy happen. Perron really wasn't sure what happened and then just got up and cross-checked the wrong guy, which is, I don't know how they do not make this. Problem is we don't have a menu, but if this is not 10 games, I'm very, the problem is we need the injury. This is the problem with a lot of these penalties.
I agree with that it shouldn't be judged on that.
Yeah. It's a big factor.
Yeah.
It's a terrible factor. They try to guess the intent. And if he, you know, hypothetically, what's his name, has a broken jaw. Is it 6 games? Is it 8? Is it 15? Why isn't it 20? The intent is you took your stick and cross-checked the guy in the face because your buddy's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's minimum X. Now, if he's hurt, if this is X, we're adding to it.
Yeah.
This can't be. I know it's in person, but if it's Zoom, does that count as in person? But
oh no, you just waive your rights
to
go
in. I know. Yeah. It's they got a. Our game's been so great. It's been a little guys. I came in all positive. I started off the positivity.
No, it's good.
We get this a lot from our guests that we pull them down.
Yes. Yes. You're doing great.
I was doing so well. Okay. All right. What's going on in Toronto?
You good? Tavares going after 1,000 points in the island.
In the island.
On.
Yeah, big night.
In. On.
I was thinking about this. Here's a little nugget for you guys in Toronto to fool around with.
Ooh, nuggets.
Well, they haven't signed Stamkos yet in Tampa. Toronto hasn't signed Nylander.
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
Toronto, Stamkos has already made all of his money. Is he happy to come home and
retire? Or does, like everybody else?
Like everyone else at the tail end of their career? Or
Del Boca Toronto?
And Nylander can take less, go play on a kind of a winning team where he's not always the focal point of the media for not being great.
So are you trading them or having them sign as UFAs after the summer?
I figure flipping UFAs, but there's no way Toronto can let this slide. There's no way they can let him go without sign, like, or sign and trade or whatever it is. There's got to be something there.
That's just not happening before March. Well, I can assure you.
Well, then they lose him for nothing. Like you're losing Nylander.
Yeah, but to your point though, if you wanted to sign Stamkos at 6.5 or 7 million, you're just using the cap space, and it's like a trade anyways. So what's the difference?
Just wait.
I'm just throwing this. I just want you guys.
We appreciate you throwing.
What if they both sign with the Dodgers,
though? I'm giving you guys a show.
Is that a problem?
You should throw for the Dodgers.
I'm not a good thrower. I'm not. I used to be able to bring the heat a little, but I can't, and I'm the pop-up king.
Well, pop up on our show anytime, bud.
All right, buddy. You guys are great.
Appreciate it, PJ.
Okay, PJ.
Ciao, guys.
PJ Stock. Always the delightful and entertaining PJ Stock.
Good takes on Stock Talk.
Stamkos 750K next year in Toronto. I like that idea.
Yeah, right.
It's time, you know, just a little earlier than the other guys when he's still got some
time to come home.
And dreams.
And he can rectify the Canadian Tire fiasco.
Everybody wants to. Can you get the Jason Spezza contract? Yay.
Why?
Stammer.
I tell you, Stammer comes here, Jason he will Spezza? Get the Canadian Tire sponsorship.
Why in God's green earth would he come to Toronto? He lives in Tampa where he's like, you know, it's just where
he did it once already. He did it once. He said, in my prime of my career, staying down here to your point.
Yeah.
I got no taxes. I got one reporter to deal with.
What do you think Ohtani's yearly taxes are in California?
What's that?
What do you think Ohtani's yearly taxes are in California?
They're not that.
Oh, California's brutal.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. It's not that much different from Ontario. Like, Ontario's, I think, 62 now. 62%?
50 in California.
Won't someone please pray for Ohtani?
I hope he's okay.
He might lose a little bit of that $700 million.
Which, by the way, is $949 million Canadian dollars.
Game time?
Game time.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365 must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I had to go here for the same game parlay that I'm doing for tonight. The Leafs win, and John Tavares gets 2 points, pays plus 350. Do you believe that it happens this evening?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah? Yeah, that's a clean sweep. Yeah. That means it's not happening.
He's streaky.
Yeah.
He can end up with three tonight.
Got to be super motivated tonight. Like, Mitch knows what's on the line. He's the, the best setup guy going.
Yeah. I would imagine that, something this team has done in years past is...
not been there for him?
Well, they've had some bad performances there for sure, but they get guilty of, like, overfeeding for somewhat meaningless records. Like, do you remember for the Mitch Marner's point streak? The circus when there was the empty net and they were, like, giving it to the puck and he was, like, trying to get it up there and he, like, missed. And remember that?
Yes, yep. I do.
They have a tendency to really overfeed these kind of things.
Might be okay to look for Tavares a lot. Fun fact about him, he has one power play goal this year through 24 games. Last year, he had 18 power play goals. One power play goal, 18 last year.
If there was one knock on the Leafs Saturday night, it was their power play.
Yeah.
They got the one. Matthews had a 120-foot two-on-one, which is not...
that's not a power
play goal. It's not a power play goal. Per se. Mm-hmm. It's technically a power play goal, but it's not a setup.
Yeah,
it's not a Tampa Bay Lightning in the net power play.
Pinball. They've been scuffling on the PP of late.
A little predictable.
Yes.
For the last little bit. But and the other one I had tonight for game time, Kipper's beloved Coyotes are playing tonight against the Sabres. My computer is frozen here. They are plus 105. Got a little value on the Arizona Coyotes. I know Kipper will be watching. It's his favorite team. Yeah. Kerfoot to get a goal. But
loves Kerf, loves the Yotes. Yeah, big just, mullet arena guy.
Regular season Kerfoot. I'm good on him.
I do not. So that's my other one for tonight. The Coyotes against the Sabres.
I got the Coyotes as a survivor pick on Wednesday. I think they're pretty decent, this Coyotes team.
Okay.
In the bad West.
Okay. It was game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365 must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, a few other news and notes, including maybe a conversation on a shift in best team in Canada in the last 2 weeks.
Has there been one?
Yes, there's been a shift.
Tell me after the break.
I will tell you after the break. More Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Covering the Raptors in depth like no one else. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, just before we went to break, I kind of teed up a little bit of a look back on the weekend and Canadian NHL clubs. For the most part, I think a lot of Canadian teams should be fairly happy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a bit of a shift on where do we start with who's the team to beat in Canada right now, because we all had Edmonton for dead.
Yep.
At American Thanksgiving, and all they've done is, seven in a row.
Okay, the only thing I feel stupider about than the Shohei show is how much I buried Edmonton.
Yeah, they won seven in a row and suddenly are...
Calvin Pickard, his first win in 2 years, 26 saves, even he's in on it now.
Yeah.
Did New Jersey touch the puck in that game?
They're unbelievable
right now.
I don't know what's wrong with them.
I was looking at the standings, and I was like, you know, the Oilers are currently, I don't know, how many points? 11 points behind the Canucks or something like that. And I was like, it's not over. You know, like, that's not them being a wild card team. Edmonton, I mean, is not a lock. They could be better than that still. So, but there are three teams, Kip, in a cluster.
Yeah, 12 points back, Kip.
Percentage. Three in a row. It's Toronto Maple Leafs, 667, Canucks, 661, Jets, 654.
Yeah. And we'd be the first ones to admit that we just don't give Winnipeg enough airtime on this show.
They need way more love than they
had.
They've won four in a row now again.
What we have not mentioned yet is the devastating knee-on-knee with Connor.
And was it Strome?
Kyle Connor going down with Ryan Stone.
Strome.
And did you see it? Didn't look to me like there was a dirty extension.
No.
And this is not... Ryan Strome, every Ryan Strome game he's ever played, but I've watched him long enough to go, it's not typical of that guy going to search out, taking knees out.
I find it hard to watch any knee-on-knee. I think it's one of the most, it makes me queasy every knee-on-knee. I hate knee-on-knees.
I will tell you something, that I'd almost have anything done to me outside of the knees are the scariest for
really?
Me.
Yeah.
If I knew someone went after my knees, I would go squirrely.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it's just, I think it's hard for them not to look incredibly greasy to me. Like, it's the NHL. It's the fastest league in the world. And he's trying to make body contact with the guy, and he just missed, and his knee's there. And it's like, yeah. I don't think it was maybe on purpose, but I think it doesn't matter if you're his teammate. Like, that's just, you want to kill the guy.
And especially crazy with Connor. Too is, you know, Connor is 2 points off the league lead in goals right now, 17-goal season. Jets have won four games in a row.
They're at the top of the Central Division right now. Colorado. Yeah,
humming. And, you know, I think they're fifth in the NHL or sixth in goals against. Like, they're locking it down. They're playing well, and things are going well. But they need all their pieces there. He's kind of one of their, like, you know, game breakers. And that's a massive blow for Winnipeg.
But we had buried them a few times. I remember last year.
I'm taking it Kip is putting them as the best team in Canada. Is that what we're doing?
Edmonton.
No, I mean, no one's hotter than Edmonton right now.
Four good and votes.
Like, I don't know. I mean, you can't talk enough about Connor McDavid's, like, lateral movements.
It's a freak.
And then go, I don't know who he passed, and then he stuffs it off the post.
Like, he's behind the net when he scores.
One of the best goals you'll ever see.
He's the most talented person ever to play hockey.
I cannot believe that. It's not like the puck's not Velcro to a stick. That's the only way it could stay that close to him when you're moving your hands that fast.
Well, there was someone, you know, like, there's lots of really fast guys in the league. Like, McDavid doesn't win the fastest skater by 3 seconds every year for a reason. There's a lot of guys who hum. And remember, I forget who it was. I think it was like Gregor on the Leafs. And I was like, God, if he could just handle the puck. You're like, if you'd handle the puck at that speed, you're McDavid.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's why, you know, McDavid's such an absolute phenomenon.
Since November 24th against Washington, McDavid's point totals in these games, 4-5-3-1-3-2-2. That's hard to figure out why they're winning so many games now.
Yeah, he is now seventh in league scoring.
The one thing
he was on page four at one point.
Yeah, the one thing that it looks like, at least, is that Edmonton looks patient enough, and even the Leafs Saturday night had a little bit of this as well, a lot of it, where you don't have to go toe-to-toe every shift. If guys can just hold the fort a little bit and you just wait it out, eventually it will fall towards your better players to find that one shift, that one game-breaking shift. And that's all you got to do is just wait it out. And, you know, Evan Bouchard, who was so bad like a month ago.
Couple defensive plays.
Stay quiet until you put yourself in a position where you can shoot a puck.
God, shoot the puck. I mean, what is he in terms of points for defensemen?
He's almost 30 points.
Yeah, he's way up there. So, yeah, he's third in the league among defensemen, 28 points. You know, it's just Makar and Hughes ahead of him at this point. One ahead of Hedman.
That
that whole thing with Evan Bouchard now is probably a guy like Paul Coffey working with him now, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Like, you're so good at this. If we can get you okay over here.
Pick your spots. Yeah. Just keep your powder dry until we...
The game will present you with opportunities.
That's
you
right.
don't have to make them out of nothing.
And that to me looks like that's Paul Coffey
yeah.
now getting him to take a deep breath.
Well, that's, I mean, not many better guys for him to lean on.
Yeah.
With Paul Coffey, if you're Evan Bouchard and Paul Coffey's like, hey, listen to me.
If he wore tiny skates and didn't tie him up tight. No, it is a unique.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's a Coffey thing, right? Didn't Paul Coffey? Yeah,
like two sizes too small.
Yeah, and like barely tied him up. Yeah.
Oh, you could. Yeah, he always wore skates smaller.
Why?
Than his regular shoes.
Do you have a reason for that?
I got nothing for you, pal.
That's insane to me.
Sure. Also,
I mean, it's hard to doubt it.
I think he's a no sock guy too.
Have you guys no socks?
No, I mean, I've done it. It's terrible. Yeah.
When I forgot to put my socks in the laundry bag.
Yeah, not on purpose.
I'm going to tell you, I like it. I don't do it very often, but it does feel, it's just really gross.
It wasn't good for the leather.
No. Oh, it's not good for the leather?
Well, his team's buying them. You're going through a pair every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Anyways.
What was that stat you told me about JT Miller Saturday?
Let me pull it up for
fastest
you.
To 40 points?
Yeah, fastest to 40 points.
Tony Tanti.
Yeah, Tony Tanti. Yeah, there you go.
I watched.
Bless you.
I watched Tony Tanti play junior hockey when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was like, I don't know what he scored, 81 goals 1 year.
You know what's funny? I always get him
scary
mixed
number.
Up with Tony Twist because of the
not their hands.
Yeah, I guess very different type of player.
Very different hands.
In 80-81 with the Oshawa Generals, he had 150 points in 67 games with 81 goals kept.
81.
Yeah, I was right. There I remember
go.
That number.
Followed her up with a down year, 62 the next. So a bit of a down year for Tony.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Canucks, they've come back down to earth a little bit here, but... They had a good win against Carolina, who's struggling on Saturday night. Watched a lot of that game. Miller scored a nice goal in that game. But this is why an awesome start. It's like you can play you can play just above 500 hockey for the rest of the year, and you're like, you got a playoff spot. So
it's inconceivable that the Canucks could miss the playoffs to me now. There's just no one in that division. Like, even if the Oilers caught them, like, they're so far into the wild card, they're fine.
Yeah.
Canucks are humming.
Yeah, so what do you make of the Hurricanes? They're not
four straight losses.
They are firmly out of a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference.
Just can't get a save. Dead last in the NHL in even strength save percentage. But still shocking. You know what's crazy though is if you look at like analytics
dead last,
stuff,
that's not going to help.
No, but they have the puck all the time. They play at the other end. Like all the possession numbers, everything. Like they're a top team.
So they're the same team with. Terrible goaltending.
No, and Freddie Anderson was so good for them, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got a bit of a theory on, like, Tom Dundon's the owner there, and we know he does things differently there, and he doesn't want to spend a dime more than he has to. Mm-hmm. And who's happy and who's not happy? Who needs a contract? Who doesn't have one?
Is this about the
and
coach?
I don't know. I don't know if it's... I don't know if that brings people together or not.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look like a very close team.
I got to tell you, I have an irrational dislike for them. I don't know. There's something about them. I don't root for them.
I get, Sam, that there's issues, too. Every team has to make those tough decisions.
Yeah.
But
do you mean the coach?
Like, oh, he needs a new contract, too.
Yeah. But players, too, you're thinking?
I'm thinking everybody, yeah.
Yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, so. Could be. It's funny, this like contract stuff. Like I'm looking at Kuzmenko in Vancouver. Guy scored 40 goals for them last year, 39, but 40 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's unbelievable.
You think they've had a change of heart on him? You think they could?
He's making 5.5, right? Like, all of a sudden he gets paid. You think he'd be more content to what you're talking about, and that hasn't seemed to be.
With scoring still at a premium, they could easily move that.
You think they get value?
Oh, yeah. I think there would be a lot of value on that.
Yeah, I guess this year and next, $5.5 million for a guy with that sort of...
Depends on...
It's funny, though, because they wouldn't... Rutherford wouldn't commit to him. They asked him about, like, you know, what are you going to do with him? And he basically said, we're not going to lock ourselves into a plan. Certainly nothing long-term. So maybe they are open to trading him.
Couple quick things before we go here. I'm looking at the Eastern Conference standings, and the first three teams and you can go first four of the first five out of the playoffs to me are pretty surprising. Look at Tampa on points percentage out of the playoffs, minus seven goal differential. The New Jersey Devils, who everyone kind of expected to have a really good year again, follow up last year, they're behind them, minus three. And Carolina behind them even. And then the Penguins behind the Habs. Like, those are, and you look at the Metro division, Philadelphia is now firmly in second place in that division. Washington's up there still. They have a plus 10 Philadelphia. They just beat Colorado. It's a weird year right now.
Very, very weird. Parody, baby.
Just, we did mention this earlier in the show that Kyle Dubas met with the media today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this guy who does nothing without having some motive on it.
Everything's great.
So a couple of quotes here included on his coach, Mike Sullivan. I'm certain that Sully's the best person to help us.
Sully.
And I'm going to give my players and coaching staff as much time as possible.
Ooh.
He mentioned All-Star break as time to fully assess.
That's February 3rd, I believe, which is 7 weeks away.
Is that him putting Sullivan on notice that he's got till then to turn this around?
It's funny.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Could you imagine first year he fires Sullivan?
Yeah, it's crazy.
40 games in? That would be really shocking.
So
50 by
that they have not scored a power play goal in a month.
They're 0 for 37.
That's
and
really bad.
29th in zone entries on the power play. So they got three or four Hall of Famers, and they can't get past the opposing first block.
According to somebody that told me this today, no media for Kyle this weekend.
So Kyle's coming to Toronto for the first time. The Leafs have already played there.
Yep.
There might have been one or two shots of him in the stands. But that would have probably had to do with more a Pittsburgh kind of camera or coverage. But coming to Hockey Night in Canada, you know it would be a huge story. But he wants nothing to do with any interviews or nothing.
He should hold up his plus six goal differential and be like, we're not that bad. Look at the stats.
So what is that? Just sour grapes on it, the way everything parted? That I'm not turning myself into a storyline for you?
I don't know, but in a way he is, right? Here we are talking about the fact that he won't even answer some questions.
To me, you know, you were the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs for, what was it, 5-6 years?
Yeah.
Your first trip back?
You might want to say a couple things.
I mean, like, you're probably not going to say anything newsworthy. Like, you know, these interviews, we always give them a hard time. There's not a lot said. But just do something.
Otherwise, it looks like you're hiding from it or you're whatever.
The part that pisses me off the most.
A little immature.
For sure.
I would agree with
that. If they were leading the Metro, they're 10 games above 500, you better believe he's coming on the shows.
Taking out billboards.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting when I got that told to me today. That he's doing nothing. So.
All right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe people don't care about that. Maybe like the general listener, maybe that's too inside baseball.
He's clearly unhappy with how he was portrayed on the way out the door in Toronto.
Well, yeah.
So don't do any interviews, and it'll get better.
Not a good solution.
Yeah.
So you tried to drown out your Ohtani woes with a lot of NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I was real happy with the Buffalo Bills outcome.
I tell you, I watch so much NFL.
But I have a new appreciation of how bad, like, the whisker of the offside is in the NHL that NFL had a taste of it in Kansas City with the toe over the line, the scrimmage line that had no bearing on anything.
So you're on Mahomes' side here?
It's offside.
I am.
Mahomes,
wow.
Mahomes saying the words, it was barely offside.
Go watch any game, and I can guarantee there's a lineman's hand that's over the line.
You couldn't see the ball,
there's a
Kipper.
Toe over the line. This happens all the time. If you're going to call that, you got to get him right. And listen, I'm a Bills fan, so I'm happy about the outcome. But you can't pick that one when everybody else is over the line by a whisker, too, and not call it.
No. I can't go there.
No.
I lost a ton of respect for Mahomes.
No.
That was embarrassing.
There was no bearing. No bearing. It was a toe.
It didn't help that one of the coolest plays in NFL history happened right after.
Hey, same thing with the NFL. Call it then. Call it all 11, the time.
11
it comes
times this
for
year.
The NFL.
They called it 11 times
the
this year.
NHL's offside call. It's coming.
All right. Just like that, our thanks. Thomas Hickey, New York Islanders, and PJ Stock. We're back again tomorrow. Once again on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Give us a rating and review if you get a chance. We'd love to hear from you.